My name is Catherine Vanderboom, and we'll be talking today about the Community Connections Program, which is the development of a community care team associated with the healthcare home. I'd also like to recognize my colleagues, Diane Holland, who will also be co-presenting with me today, as well as Paul Targonsky, a physician who is involved with our study. I have no relationships that I need to disclose. This study was funded by the Minnesota Department of Health, the Healthcare Homes Division, and also by the Mayo Clinic. We began to develop this study in association with the development of the healthcare homes. There's a lot of interest in Minnesota in developing, we call them healthcare homes or medical homes, and so there was really a lot of restructuring that was being done within the primary care practices. And so what we recognized was that there really wasn't a connection yet with some of those community providers that we needed to include with the primary care practices. So the purpose of our study then is to develop and evaluate partnerships, and we wanted to bring together patients and families, primary care providers, and then the community service providers. We were really focused on improving care coordination and self-management support within the healthcare home, and we used this 3-month community care team intervention. The aims of our study then, the first part was really the feasibility phase where we developed the community care team and we really looked at team cohesion and collaboration. Aim two then was focused on evaluating the effectiveness of the community care team in terms of care coordination and self-management support, health outcomes that we'll talk about a little bit later, and then use of health and community services. We had an exploratory aim then as well where we wanted to look at understanding some of the challenges that we thought maybe would place our older adult population at risk for using health services. The framework for our study is the chronic care model, and what we were trying to do was link the community service resources. We wanted the patient and family at the center, and then we wanted to be linked in with the healthcare home. We used a process called wraparound as the way that we linked those three groups together. And what we wanted to do was then develop those proactive interactions between patients and the care team, and then the outcomes that I mentioned before. So we had the feasibility study where we developed with just a small group of patients, and then we have what we're calling a pragmatic clinical trial where we evaluated the intervention with two groups of healthcare home patients. So we had both groups received usual care, and then the intervention group received the Community Connections Program. The study took place at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester in the ambulatory care setting. Our sample included healthcare home patients and support persons. And what we did was we used patients who were assigned to two nurse care coordinators within the healthcare home. Our sampling strategy then was that we selected those nurse care coordinators randomly, and then we had patients within both groups who were also selected randomly. Our patients then were older adults. Within the healthcare home, if you're familiar with tiering, but patients in tier 3 and 4 have the most comorbidities. So in group tier 3, they had at least 7 chronic conditions, and tier 4, they had at least 10. The ERA score then is an elderly risk assessment that we do on all patients, and it indicates a risk for readmission. We then asked the patients who were interested in being in the study to identify a support person who would also participate. So what we tried to do then was integrate these three approaches for care coordination and self-management support, the nurse care coordinators within the healthcare home, community service providers who were involved with older adults in our community, and then using the wraparound process. I don't know if you're all familiar with wraparound. It's a program that was developed, it's been around for about 30 years, and it was used for high-risk kids to try and keep them at home out of institutional settings. So what we did then was adapt that for use with older adults. The principles then of wraparound is that it's really a strengths-based approach. We really tried to bring more informal supporters to the table rather than formal. And we were trying to develop this circle of support around our patients that included not only the family, but then community and healthcare home support. We are really trying to be collaborative, involve the community, and we are outcomes focused. The team members then, we brought patients and families together with a nurse care coordinator from the healthcare home, the community service provider that we eventually labeled the trusted broker, who could speak to, objectively speak to other services that might be applicable for the person within the community. We had a person who facilitated the team meeting, and then a recorder. In terms of how the intervention actually worked, we prepared for the team meeting by doing the strengths-based assessment ahead of time, and we had a brief health history that we brought to the team, so they had a little bit of an idea of what the patient and family were like, but not enough that they still wanted to ask questions and interact at the table. We would bring the team together then and discuss those strengths. We really talked about patient priorities. We focused on helping people identify difficult days so they would know what some of those subtle cues were that indicated that things were kind of going south. We then developed a written action plan, and part of that was the crisis prevention plan based on that difficult day. We implemented the action plan. The nurse care coordinator followed up with them, usually within a couple of weeks, but more often depending on what the action plan specified. And one thing I need to stress is that the action plan was written and a hard copy was given to patients, families, support persons when they left the meeting. So we did the initial team meeting. We had an interim meeting if anything happened that we needed to follow up on. And if not, then we had what we called a transitional meeting at 3 months after the first meeting. At that time then, we revised the action plan and we helped the patient and family transition to self-management within that informal circle of caring. So the measures that we used for AIM 1, we're looking again at team cohesion, so we had a group cohesion scale, and then we did focus groups and interviews. For the AIM 2, for our measures, we wanted to get patient input, we wanted input from the families, and then we also looked at changes in knowledge, behavior, and status of patients based on problems that they had identified as important to them. For our health outcomes, we used the EQ5D, and then the use of health services, we used a health service use questionnaire that we adapted to include community services as well. For our exploratory aim, again, we're trying to look at some of those other factors that put people at risk for institutional services, and we use the, again, those self-identified problems, and then the PADQE. And my colleague, Diane Holland, will be speaking about the results. Diane's a co-PI on the study, and we'll speak to you about some of our findings.
Thanks, Catherine. From here you can see, well, I should mention we only had 1 year from start to finish for this study. We were able to recruit and get full data sets on 29 intervention patients. Support persons for those intervention patients, we only had 22, and I'll get back to that kind of interesting phenomenon later. Control patients, 27 were analyzed, and we only had 9 support people that participated that were connected to the control patients. This is a very busy slide. What we want to stress is that at baseline, our intervention patients felt down, depressed, or hopeless more so than the controls, as well as having spent more days in bed and more days of restricted activity over the last 3 months. Otherwise, they were fairly similar. AIM 1, in terms of the group cohesion scale, this is a scale measured from 0 to 100. Patients scored high on that, the support person as well, but not as high as the patient. Thank you. And team members in the intervention as well felt there was good group cohesion with the intervention. In the focus group, we learned that the team members really appreciated the different perspectives brought by the different team members. So we had a community service provider, nurse care coordinator, facilitator, the patient and the family. Building relationships with the patient and their support person was key, and building on patients' strengths was critical for the action plan actually to work. The patients and support persons had some interesting quotes from the interview. I liked that they were my decisions. We started with a strengths-based assessment. We then asked the person to identify their needs, and we asked the person to prioritize their needs, and then we acted on those. It got me motivated. It's not so overwhelming now. There was a relief to know that they could call the nurse care coordinator. We had to convince them that when they were having a difficult day, they should inform someone within their circle of caring, and that the nurse care coordinator was open to them having a difficult day. What we didn't put on here was another common phrase was, well, I don't want to bother my physician unless I'm really sick. And what we were trying to do with a difficult day and the nurse care coordinator relationship was to have them interact with someone within the healthcare community before they actually were really sick. A written copy was helpful if their support person or family member had one and the patient was reporting that some of the items off their difficult day, that support person could then support them in terms of calling the nurse care coordinator. The patient assessment of chronic illness care, you can see overall, the PASIC total scores were statistically significantly different between groups, and that's comparing the 3 months to the baseline. In terms of the subscales, the statistically significant subscales were in goal setting and tailoring, which is one of the strengths that we developed into the intervention, and then also problem solving with the additional attention, if you will, to contextual factors. The family-centered care delivery, again, we had a statistically significant difference, although you can see that the controls were reporting higher scores than the intervention. Aim to knowledge, behavior, and status as part of the Omaha system. The plus signs indicate that there were all positive changes. The yellow ones indicate statistically significant changes. This was only in the intervention group where we actually were paying attention to their identified problems. In terms of health outcomes, we saw trends in improvement in physical health, specifically pain, discomfort, anxiety, depression, and then also with social health satisfaction with both social roles and activities, but these were not statistically significant. There were no differences in hospitalization between the two groups. Keep in mind this was a 3 month intervention. Intervention patients actually had more ED visits than the controls, and the control group had no ED visits during this 3 months, although two control patients spent time in a nursing home during the 3 months. We were not quite sure if older adults with multiple 10 plus chronic conditions would actually use community services that were recommended. We found that there were many services recommended, and the uptake was quite good. Self-identified problems. In terms of the areas that people in the intervention group identified, psychosocial was 45% of the problems that they wanted to prioritize and work on. Physiologic was 29%. Health-related was down to 14%, and environmental-type problems, actually, 12%. In the exploratory aim, we again dichotomized people who had either a hospitalization, ED visit, or a nursing home stay, and those who did not have any of those. The patients who had the poor outcomes had significantly more problems with personal care, household activities, and use of equipment and aids. Their unmet physical needs were basically around fatigue, diarrhea, nausea, and incontinence. What we have found when we look at what we've learned is, with an ecological type of approach and perspective, looking at social determinants of health, we found issues of clutter and hoarding that actually precluded moving to assisted living. A gentleman knew he would eat better. He probably would have more exercise if he did move to assisted living, but first he needed to manage his current residential situation. Both he and his former wife were hoarders, which we were in the process of helping him clean out his house. Dysfunctional grief over a loss of the spouse was actually interfering in terms of diabetes management, eating the right diet. We saw a great deal of lack of problem-solving ability. What surprised us was a lot of our patients were unable to identify any support person, keeping in mind these are patients with six plus comorbid conditions. We do feel that this wraparound process does provide an effective structure. A strengths-based approach was effective for engaging patients. Developing this circle of support was challenging. As I mentioned, some patients weren't able to identify any support person. Many patients would have even their spouses, but their support persons, including their spouses, did not engage at all in the physician visit. So the husband might drive the wife to the clinic, but sat in the lobby while she went in and had her visit with the physician. The action plan was also effective, and having a written copy as they left each meeting was important. 2 minutes, okay. The difficult day was met with success, and we found that a nurse care coordinator, again, as part of a team approach with partnerships in the community, was a pivotal member. Practice implications, social determinants of health were often patient priority concerns. Patients were reluctant to call and or discuss non-medical concerns with physicians. Again, a good idea to use a team approach with multiple disciplines and utilizing the strengths of all the disciplines involved. Patients' inability to identify support persons may be difficult to provide informal self-management support. And the strengths assessment was activating. We're keeping a strengths positive base to our intervention. Next steps, I should mention it's a rather small study. It was only within one healthcare home. We would like to duplicate it with multiple healthcare homes in a larger study. Documenting strengths is not a feature of healthcare home documentation systems, nor is it a feature of documenting within the Omaha system. So we're working with the Omaha system people to actually map strengths to documentation. We don't believe all patients with multiple chronic health conditions actually need care coordination, and we'd like to determine characteristics of patients who actually need it from those who don't, and we're starting with patients who accept care coordination and those who refuse. It's a picture of the group. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do I have time?
Yeah, we have 1 minute, and then we'll open a general discussion.
Any questions? Yeah.
Who did the support people tend to be? Who did they end up being in people's lives?
It ranged from some spouses, a neighbor, adult children, and a mentor was brought in. Oh, and a PCA. A PCA was also one support person. Yes.
When they found that there was a support person that they would come to the meeting
They didn't attend medical visits. So I guess being a nurse, and my mother is quite elderly, I attend all of her physician visits and thought that was more or less mundane. But it was kind of a surprise that that took some getting used to some people when we suggested that to be involved in keeping their loved one healthy or, you know, whoever they were supporting, that actually being part of the visit would be important. So they got the information straight. Everybody heard the same thing at the same time.